Hello there, paperweight people. We have a great show for you today, but first I get to take a moment and tell you about Bebop's. Brittany's Brick Oven Pizza is a mom-and-pop pizza shop located at 2034 Lanier Drive in Madison, Indiana, and they happen to be the sponsor of this episode. Stop by today to enjoy a delicious pizza featuring handmade dough and sauces, fresh toppings, all cooked to perfection in a brick oven. Also, try one of Susan's homemade desserts and treat yourself to a local wine or beer. On a personal note, Bebop's is my family's favorite pizza place. I'm partial to the Chicken Bacon Ranch, while my wife can't get enough of the Boss Hog Barbecue. Call 812-274-3337 or stop by Bebop's today and tell them that Paperweight sent you. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, your home for all things Marvel, DC, Star Wars, and so much more. Join Derek and Ian as they tell tales to astonish along this journey into mystery. Grab some snacks and settle in because Paperweight Entertainment starts now. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast. I am your host for the evening. My name is Derek Hoskins. For those of you who are new, my voice does not always sound like this. I am battling the wonderful Ohio Valley sinus infection that happens multiple times throughout the year. I'll try not to cough too much into the microphone. And every now and again, I will take a sip of some delicious hot tea to help my throat get through this. I am flying solo tonight. My good friend and yours, the glue, Ian, could not be here tonight, which, you know what, in all honesty, he's not too sad about. As much as he's not been hating Ahsoka by any means, he just doesn't have the background and the backstory to really understand what's going on in the show as well as somebody who's actually watched Clone Wars and Rebels has. And so he had to bow out tonight. And even though I'm not feeling great, I'm still under the weather, I thought I'd get on here and at least talk about this episode. So we are talking about Ahsoka Episode 7. And we're going to get some breakdown, some spoilers, definitely going to get into some spoilers, my thoughts on it, where I hope it's going to go into the finale. And of course, what's going to happen moving forward with the character of Ahsoka, Ezra, Sabine, and of course, Grand Admiral Thrawn. So if you are new here, please don't forget to subscribe to the channel. Also, leave us a like, comment, send this, share it to all of your friends, all of your family. And if you're listening to the podcast version only, don't forget to rate and review us. That really is a help. And we want to thank our sponsor, Brittany's Brick Oven Pizza. Thank you very much to Bebop's. If you're in the Southern Indiana area, make sure you check them out. Delicious pizza. All right. With all that out of the way, we're going to get into this episode of Ahsoka after I take another sip because my throat is incredibly scratchy. All right. So, Ahsoka, we're in the home stretch here. This is the penultimate episode where we finally get some real interactions between Ezra and Sabine, other than the little tiny bit that they had there at the end of the last episode. some really great moments here. I really like, and I'm not going to say the actor's name because I feel like I'm going to mess it up. That is playing Ezra. He is really doing a great job of bringing the mannerisms and the overall kind of joyfulness that we had from Ezra. I was really concerned moving into this series that if we got Ezra in any kind of large capacity, that they were going to make him bitter and jaded. But no, they kept the kind of boyish nature that he had in Rebels, even all the way up to the end where he was much more mature, where he realized his place and what he needed to do to save the day at the end of the series. But they kept that overall joyful tone with Ezra. And I think that that's great. I love his interactions with the Noti, I believe is what they're called. The adorable little hermit crab creatures and their awesome RV park that they just pack up and take with them wherever they need to go. I think it was great. Again, Baylan Skoll was great in this episode. I want to see more out of him, and I'm so sad to know that we're not going to get more out of that character as portrayed by Ray Stevenson, who tragically passed away, because he has been so intriguing and so interesting, and I want to know more about his backstory. I want to know exactly what his plans are moving forward. I want to know what his actual motivations are. I know that he's definitely said some of those motivations, and it's been really great to hear, but excuse me, I need another sip. But it certainly seems like he's got a lot more up his sleeve and more that he wants to do by the fact that he kind of sent Shin away to go and join Thrawn and do whatever while he went off on his own quest, on his own pilgrimage. And speaking of Shin, this is a character that I'm more and more excited to see what they're going to do with her. When they first brought her in, I was concerned that she was just kind of be the silent, angry apprentice that we've seen before. But she hasn't been. While she has been, you know, a little bit angry, and she's been a little bit, you know, acting like a dark side user. You know what I mean? That's kind of what she's doing. But she's doing a good job with it. And the actress that is playing her, the way that she's using her face to tell the story, she's really doing a lot of emotion and a lot of things without speaking. And she's doing a great job. And I really like her more than I thought I was going to at the beginning of the show, because I was afraid they were going to fall into that trope. And they really haven't. She hasn't just been angry and bitter and, oh, vengeful and evil. Ah, I'm a dark side user. She's been aggressive. She's been a little overzealous, all the things that you want from a young, hot-headed apprentice type of a character. But also, you can tell there's something going on with her in her mind. She's got ambition, she's got goals, but she also has great respect for her master. She has a curiosity about what the Jedi Order used to be, and, you know, really a longing to know what that was like, something that she didn't get to be raised under. And so she could be a character moving forward, if they do anything with her, who could be a very entertaining story. And I really hope that they keep going with her. I think that she is going to be somebody, if they play the character right, which I think that they can, they've already been moving in this direction, that I would be very, very happy to see more of in the future. Excuse me. So the dark side, mercenaries, as they're calling them, because they're not Jedi, they're not Sith, they're really one of my favorite parts of this series as a whole. The fan service moments, the nostalgia moments are great. I love seeing Ezra and Sabine. Ahsoka's a great character, but these two new characters and what they bring to Star Wars as a whole get me very excited for the future. Because one thing that, even if you hate the sequel trilogy, one thing that they've done right, Disney has done villains very well. We've gotten some great villains. I love Kylo Ren. I think that Kylo Ren and his transformation to Ben Solo, I think that his character arc was wonderful. I think Adam Driver played him amazingly. I think that the Inquisitors have been a lot of fun to watch. While I have my problems with Reva, her character turned out to be great. The actress they got to play her was fantastic. I'm thinking the Imperials that we got to deal with, and the Ichabod Crane, who we called him in Andor, was just really entertaining. And then, of course, now we've also got Thrawn in live action, which Disney brought him in Rebels. They brought him out of the Legends into canon in Rebels. So Disney has been doing a good job with villains. No matter what you think about the quality of the series, no matter what you think about the quality of the movies, Disney has done a great job with the villains in Star Wars. And I think that they are just continuing on that track record, especially getting to see Lars Mikkelsen more and more as Thrawn. I absolutely love his portrayal of Grand Admiral Thrawn. His voice in Rebels was perfect. It's exactly what I thought of whenever I would hear that character in my head. I heard him with this very slow, very methodical, very pompous voice, and just very intelligent. And I think that it was great. And I love that they got him back to play him in live action, because he can put the face to the voice so very well. That's the same. He was great in The Witcher in season one of The Witcher. I didn't get to watch any other, but he was great in The Witcher, playing a very similar character, very, very smart, very intelligent, very much higher than you, very much better than you, you know, very powerful. And so it was very exciting to see him come back into this as well. Fight scenes in this episode were a lot of fun. The choreography throughout has been a blast to watch. Ezra fighting off the stormtroopers, assuring Sabine that he didn't need a blaster, he didn't need the lightsaber, he's been training. the Force is his ally, and then seeing him holding Shin's lightsaber in place with the Force, just using hand-to-hand combat against the stormtroopers. A lot of flips, a lot of martial arts. So much fun to see. I do hope that now that he's getting onto the ship there with Ahsoka and Sabine and Hu Yang, that maybe he takes advantage of all the lightsaber parts that are on that ship and is able to build another one. Hopefully, fingers crossed, Hu Yang has a couple of spare kyber crystals hanging around. I know that's not how they would traditionally get a kyber crystal. I'm just being silly. Excuse me. I'm so sorry again. Really, this cough is terrible. But I really want to see more of Ezra. More than anything, I want to see more of Ezra. While we were watching this, my wife and I both had the same thought when he didn't take the lightsaber, when he didn't take a blaster, and we both said out loud, if they kill Ezra, I'm done. Because we already watched Ezra sacrifice himself. He had no way of knowing whether or not he was going to survive when he called the Purrgil in and they transported him and Thrawn and his entire ship away. He had no idea whether they would survive that. He didn't know where they would end up. He made a play, saved Lothal, saved his friends. And then to be able to find him, to give Sabine that moment of finding him, all of these years later, and then for them to just kill him off will be very disappointing. And quite frankly, just a cheap trick, in my opinion. I have no problem with characters dying. It happens in stories. You know, there has to be stakes in order for a story to really matter sometimes. Somebody has to die. And, you know, that happens. But to build up this character's return and then just to kill him off will be hard to shake off. So I don't think they're going to get rid of Ezra. At least I hope not. We will see what happens in the next episode. But I really do want to see them move forward and do something with Ezra in the future. Now, I know a lot of people online are saying, oh, well, if he survives this, you know he's going to die in Luke's temple. Why? Why do we know that? There's nothing written in stone that every Force user in the galaxy went and trained with Luke. Ezra's been trained. Excuse me. He doesn't need to go and train with Luke. He doesn't need to take on Padawans. He doesn't need to go and help Luke start this Jedi, oh my gosh, Academy, if we're going off of what they did in Legends. And, you know, there's nothing written in stone that says he needs to do that. So while I do hope that we see more of Ezra, I don't think that it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to die at the hands of Ben Solo or the Knights of Ren or Snoke or anyone else. I think they can tell a lot more stories moving forward. And also, that's years down the line from now. So either way, I haven't talked about Ahsoka really at all in this show that's called Ahsoka, but she has sort of taken a backseat in this story over the last couple of episodes. Which is okay. The story still focused around her. She came in clutch at the end of this episode. You know, they probably would not have made it out of there. Ezra or Sabine would have not made it. And, you know, she came in, saved the day, had a great hero moment of giving Shin a chance to come with them, to turn aside from the dark side, to turn away from all the wrong that she'd done and come and learn with them and have a better life. She had a great hero's moment of doing that. And so overall, even though Ahsoka wasn't in this very much, I still feel like it is very much her story. And I think that this show has been a lot of fun. I think that it's been a blast, as a matter of fact. As a huge fan of Rebels, I actually like Rebels a little bit more than Clone Wars. I think that this is a worthy successor, a worthy sequel to that series. I think that is to the detriment of the general audience. I was really surprised by that. Ian and I have talked about it. If you haven't listened to our other reviews, go check those out. We've talked about it a couple of times, how this show is really at a detriment because it's not very user-friendly. This is not an entry-level Star Wars show. You have to have some knowledge under your belt in order to understand what's going on here. They're dealing with deep, heavy themes. They're dealing with crossing the barrier between galaxies. I mean, Ian has talked about it a couple of times now. Space whales is a big ask for someone who's never seen any of the animated series. That's a big thing to ask somebody to just accept if they've had no experience with it before. So this is a great show for those of us that already know what's going on, those of us that are well-versed in what happened in the animated series, but it is not an entry-level show by any means. And I think that that was a mistake. And I think that they are, I hope moving forward that they don't do that again. Because if you wanted to make Rebels Season 5, just make Rebels Season 5. Even if you want it to be live action, be the live action Rebels Season 5, make it an event. But don't name it Ahsoka, because people are going to come in for the character that they found in The Mandalorian, the character that they saw in the Book of Boba Fett, you know, talking with Luke. There are people that the first time they saw Ahsoka was in The Mandalorian Season 2. And so I think that it was a mistake to do it this way. Not for me, and not for a lot of Star Wars fans. A lot of us are really enjoying this. I'm loving the series. It's really fun. But for the fandom as a whole, I think it was a mistake. So my voice is giving out. So I've rambled on for a little while now. This will be a short episode. I apologize to anybody that actually wanted it to be a long episode. But we've got one more episode of Ahsoka coming out. I think it's going to end on a bit of a cliffhanger. They've already discussed how this is going to lead into kind of the big crossover event that they've been building towards between Mandalorian and now Ahsoka, Boba Fett, all of their live action series that take place around the same time. You know, they're building towards something. And so I think that this is going to lead into that. I think Thrawn clearly is going to be set up, like they've discussed, as the big bad going forward. Everything that was happening with Hera in this episode really shows that's the conflict that we're heading for, of a new republic that can't deal with the fact that they are going to have to fight in another war. Basically, they don't want to believe it. They don't want to think about that. They want to demilitarize. For anybody that's read any of the extended materials, you know, Mon Mothma made a big push to demilitarize the New Republic, and it hurt. That's one of the reasons why the First Order was able to rise. So there's a lot that is going to happen, and they are not going to have enough time in one episode to wrap it all up. So I think this is going to end in a cliffhanger of some kind. And I'm excited to see what it is, but it's going to be a bummer to have to wait a couple of years to get the actual conclusion to this story. Again, I know I said I'm going to wrap up, but I didn't talk about any of the big fan service moments. Seeing 3PO in this episode was a lot of fun. You can't help it. Even if you don't like 3PO, you got to be excited when you see him come in. The fact that Leia is working behind the scenes to make sure that Hera is able to do what she needs to do was great. And the everything about the scene in the hearing with the senators. Also, for anybody that's not aware, if you didn't watch Resistance, which I wouldn't blame you because it wasn't a great show, that's not fair. It was very much a kid's show. It was what everybody was afraid Rebels was going to be because it was on Disney, turned up to 11. I mean, slapstick, silly characters, ridiculous premise, 100% like a younger children's, like an elementary school age children's show. But the main character, that Cass Yono, his father, is the antagonistic senator that Hera has to deal with in this series. Another little fun nod to the fans. So anyway, what did you guys see in here that I didn't mention? What was your favorite fan service moment about this episode? Let me know, comment below, send us a message on social media, whatever you want to do. Where do you think the series is going to go? What are you thinking of the series as a whole overall? Again, drop me a comment or send a message to us on any of our social medias. Links to all of that, of course, are in the description of this. Next week, Ian will definitely be back because we are going to talk about briefly the finale of Ahsoka. So if you're enjoying our breakdowns of Ahsoka, I'm sorry, it will be a shorter breakdown of it. It's just, I can't drag on an episode when it's just me talking about it. So it'll probably be about a 10-15 minute recap of Ahsoka and what we thought about the series overall. And then we're jumping right into Loki season 2. Loki season 2 drops next Thursday. which is the night we record. We record on Thursday. So we're going to watch it that night and we're going to jump in both feet and start covering Loki. Also, I didn't mention at all, congratulations to the WGA, the Writers Guild, on getting a deal made. Here we go, hoping that the actors get a deal very, very soon, that the strikes can be over. These strikes that were absolutely necessary, by the way. Hopefully all of the unions get a fair deal and everything that they need to. Everybody deserves a livable wage. Everybody deserves respect and dignity in the workplace. And everybody deserves the protections that they should have for just living in a civilized society. So again, congratulations to the WGA. Everybody stand with SAG as well. Let's hope that that they get a deal soon. Let us know what you thought of this episode. Let us know what you think is going to happen with Ahsoka moving forward. Don't forget to check out our sponsor, Bebops. Don't forget to do all the things you're supposed to with this video. Don't forget to rate and review us on the podcast. And I am going to go rest my voice. I have been Derek for the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast. We will see you next time.